Welcome to the world of Shabbos. My name is Reuven Brand, and I invite you to listen in as we share a powerful burst of Torah that will transform your experience of Shabbos. Whether we'll be swaying with a group of Majitzer Hasidim at Shalashuddis or cracking a Talmudic mystery, we'll be pursuing a journey to deepen and enrich our weekly Shabbos experience. Let's get started. This week we're going to tackle one of the greatest, most central and influential halachic principles in the entire world of Shabbos. It's so great that the Gemara in Maseches Chagiga on Daf Yud describes it as a mountain, and it really needs to be unpacked and understood. It's called Meleches Machsheves. This idea of Meleches Machsheves, which we need to define, these two Hebrew words, which have to do with the type of work that is being done on Shabbos, that qualifies as one of the Lamed Tes, the 39 categories of Malacha, Avos Malacha. This, the Gemara says, is learned from a hair. Harorim Hatulim Basar, Rashi says, it's learned from an oblique reference to the Mishkan. Meaning, we learn from the Mishkan, where that's where we learn the concept of Meleches Machsheves. That's what appears in the Parsha, in Parshas Vayakel, the comparison, the juxtaposition between Shabbos and Mishkan. We learn that the Melechs of Shabbos, they're only violated in their fullest form if they conform, if they reach the threshold of Meleches Machsheves. Well, what does that mean that the Pasuk says that the craftsmanship in the Mishkan was done Meleches Machsheves? Well, there's an element of Meleches, it's a kind of work, and then there's a Machsheves, a kind of thought. And so perhaps we can suggest that this humongous topic can be distilled just in a few minutes into three main categories. The first is the Maisa HaMalacha. What is the nature of this activity? Does the nature of the activity qualify as Meleches Machsheves? The second is the manner in which I carry out the activity. Does that rise to the level of Meleches Machsheves? And the third is the intent, the intentionality that goes along with the activity as I'm doing it. That's the Machsheves part. So the first element, the Maisa HaMalacha, the Gemara in Chagiga tells us that if something on Shabbos is destructive, it's not a malacha. I was very busy, I smashed something, I broke it. It's not a malacha because it's not constructive. Not only that, the Gemara says in Maseches Beitza on Gimel Amud Beis that Meleches Machsheves means it needs to be a kind of quality of activity. It's got to be transformational in its nature, and Rashi there describes that it's got to be Meleches Umnus. It's got to be the quality of action that can be understood as a Meleches Umnos, the actions of a craftsman. It's got to be specialty type of creative transformational work. And therefore, only the 39 categories that are listed in the Mishnah on Shabbos, Daf Ayin Gimel Lamed Aleph, only those qualify as transformational Meleches Umnos that we're going to learn from the Mishkan. So that's the first threshold. Number one, your actions on Shabbos to violate the Melech of Shabbos is Dafka if it is a Maisa of Melech of Umnos. Because that's Meleches Machsheves. Number two, the manner in which it needs to be done. It's got to be done in the normal way that an uman, a craftsman, somebody who's paying attention, somebody who is skilled at this work, it's the way that that person is doing it. Meaning, if you do something in an unusual fashion, so that's not called Meleches Machsheves. The Gemara says, the Mishnah tells us in Sadi Bezim at Aleph and Shabbos, that when you violate, if someone were to violate the Melech of Hotzah, of carrying something out from a private domain and putting it down into a public domain, or carrying it four amos, picking it up and putting it down in the distance of a Rishis Rabba public domain. That's only if you carry it, let's say a pen. I'm carrying a pen right now, holding it in my hand, in my right hand or my left hand. But if I put the pen between my teeth, that does not violate the Melacha of Shabbos. Why? Because it is considered to be a shinui. It's an unusual fashion. So you'll tell me, but wait a second, what does that have to do with Shabbos? In Kol Torah Kula, we know in other areas of Halacha, shinui makes things different. So, for example, on Pesach, if you eat something shelo kederach achila in an abnormal way, so that's a different status. The same thing on Yom Kippur and other contexts. So, why is this unique for Shabbos? So, says the Halakha Eglei Tal, the Sochet Chava Rebbe, Rav Avraham Bornstein, in the introduction to his major work on Shabbos called Eglei Tal, he says it's different. Because there are two kinds of shinuis. Sometimes you could do something in an unusual way where the result is the same, but the way I did it is different. So, for example, if I carry out the pen from my house to a public domain, at the end of the day, once the pen moves to the public domain, it doesn't really matter the result, whether I took it with my hand or with my teeth. And then sometimes there is a much more fundamental type of shinui, where it's what he calls a shinui be'echas anifal, where the end product is different, where when I, let's say, imagine if I'm trying to crush something, but I crush it with my toes, imagine like I use the heel of my foot instead of using a grinder. So not only is the way that I did the crushing different, but the product is different. The end product is completely different. Or instead of planting something in the ground, I plant something in a potted plant. Well, what I end up with is not a plant which is sourced in the ground, I end up with a potted plant. It's a different product. The end product is different. So, says the Egle Tal, this second category, this fundamental shinu be'echas anifal, that's what you have in Kol HaTorah Kula. In other areas of halacha where the fundamental change is so substantial that it even affects the outcome, that's true in affecting all areas of halacha. But the first category, that's not so significant. So for example, the Egle Tal points out, what's the halacha if a sofer, a scribe, wrote a get, a bill of divorce for a couple? It has to be written specifically with intention by the sofer for this couple, and he wrote it with his left hand, and he's right-handed generally. Well, that's certainly unusual, but the ink, especially if he was very talented, the ink appears on the paper in a totally acceptable manner, and it says exactly the words that are necessary. So the fact that the manner in which it was done is unusual, in the terms of a get, it's irrelevant. The get is kosher, even if it was written besmol with the left hand by somebody who generally writes with their right. And that's because it's not a fundamental shinui that would rise to the level of unusual for other areas of halacha. But when it comes to Shabbos, Shabbos, that would qualify as a shinui, because Shabbos has melechas machshevis, it's got to be done in the normal way of activity. And finally, the last category of melechas machshevis, and this can take weeks and years of expansion, explanation into these different elements of melechas machshevis as it relates to machshava, the thought, but this is the third and probably the most famous category of melechas machshevis that it affects, that even if a person did an activity befoal practically with the appropriate accompanying result, but since his thought process was different, something about his thoughts, that doesn't rise to the level of melacha min haTorah, a biblical violation on Shabbos, because it's got to be meleches machsheves. It's got to be thought-based. So that relates to many different categories. So for example, number one, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that on Shabbos, the concept of misasek, where something is done unintentionally, totally unaware. You happen to walk into a room, the Gemara says, in Sanhedrin, Samasamach Beis Amid Beis, and you don't even have any awareness of the fact that your elbow bumped into the switch and it turned on the light. That's not mazid, intentional. It's not shogeg, unintentional. That's misasek. That's not intending at all. And the Gemara has several different permutations about this in Maseches Krisos and other ways, in other places. But the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, Daf Chav Vav Amid Beis, that if somebody has a stone in their lap and they get busy typing on the computer, they forget about the stone, they stand up and the stone now all of a sudden falls out of their lap and it falls onto someone's iPhone. Well, falls on their iPhone, they're chayav to pay for the iPhone because they caused the stone to break the iPhone. But for purposes of Shabbos, no, it's totally unintended. It's not meleches machsheves. And Tosfos says that this is in Shabbos, ayin beis amid beis. This is even more expansive in other areas of misasek. But this is just rule number one. If you're not paying attention at all, you have no awareness, there's no melech on Shabbos because there's no kavana. It's not meleches machsheves. Another one, let's say, the Gemara gives us another example where you intend on throwing an item in the public domain. You throw it, let's say, only a foot and a half. That's your intention. It should only go a foot and a half. Well, that's not the intention of violating a malacha. Well, accidentally, after you threw it the foot and a half, it rolls in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and comes to rest, to stop, for Amos away. And that is the threshold for a chiyuv. That's the threshold for violating Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, not meleches machsheves. Why? Because you didn't intend for it to rest after four Amos. You only intended it to rest after two Amos. Another example, Reb Shimon has a debate with Reb Yehuda. What happens if the melacha is, the activity you did is ein tzricha lagufa? It's not for this essential, constructive, inherent, originally intended purpose. Now, there is a debate between Rashi and Tosfos what that means. Either Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is because there's a bad situation, I'm trying to prevent it from deteriorating, or because the intention of this was different in the Mishkan. But a case in point would be, let's say I go outside, and I see that there is a huge branch blocking my picture window. So I snap the branch off the tree so it's not blocking the window. And now I have done a malacha. The malacha is kotzer, harvesting wood. But I didn't harvest the wood because I want the wood. I harvested the wood because I wanted to stop blocking the view from my picture window, from my living room. So Rabbi Shimon says, you're pater, you're not chayiv in that case. Tosa says it's because it's not the same intention as it was in the Mishkan. And Rashi says, because you didn't want that branch there, it's bothering you. But either way, Rabbi Shimon says, you're pater. Why? Because it's a lack of intent. It's a chisaron, a lack of malachas machsheves. And finally, one more example of Malachas Machsheves, among many, is the concept of Davar She'inu Miskavein, the unintended consequence. So, let's say somebody is dragging a bench across a dirt floor. So, if that bench is somewhat heavy and the dirt floor has a little bit of give to it, you might cause a divot, a furrow to develop in the floor. And if it's in the field, that would be a malacha of plowing. In your house, it might be a malacha of boneh. Says Rabbi Shimon, since when you ask me what I'm doing, I tell you, oh, what I'm doing is I'm dragging a bench. I'm not saying I'm digging a hole. Since that is my intention is to carry the bench, the fact that there is the unintended consequence of a hole being created, I don't worry about that. That's what Rabbi Shimon says. Rabbi Yehuda says, not true. And this is true in all areas of Torah. There's a big discussion about this, the concept of the unintended consequence. So, if you have an unintended consequence, you do one activity and something else happens. Let's say somebody is planning on doing some activity with their parent, and the unintended consequence is that the parent is going to develop some kind of wound. So that's a question in halacha, because you're not allowed to wound a parent, and that's the unintended consequence of this activity. So, Rabbi Shimon says that is in Kol Torah Kula, that's called Davar She'inu Miskavein. It's unintended consequence. However, Rabbi Shimon agrees that if you have a psik reisha, if it's a guaranteed, if you want to get a toy for your chicken and for your child, and the best toy to get is the head of a chicken, so you cut off the head of the chicken to harvest the toy, you would say, oh, I didn't mean to kill the chicken, I just wanted to harvest the head so I can get a toy. So you did the malacha of killing the chicken, and you knew that that was going to happen. So Reb Shimon agrees. Mo de Reb Shimon bipsik reisha v'lo yamos. But even though Reb Shimon is mo de bipsik reisha, and even Rabbi Yehuda, who says that when Davar She'inu Miskavein, Rabbi Yehuda says, if you were to ask him, I tell you that Davar She'inu Miskavein, the unintended consequence, that's an isur d'oraisa, right? Says Rabbi Yehuda, Davar She'inu Miskavein on Shabbos? Nope. Not a d'oraisa. Tosfos says, not everybody agrees to this, but Tosfos says, when you have a Davar She'inu Miskavein, an unintended consequence on Shabbos, even though I tell you that it's usher, it's only usher midrabban. And Tosfos in Yuma, Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, also in Shabbos, Tosfos says, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that in that context, it's not a biblical violation, because on Shabbos you need Malachas Machsheves, and since it was an unintended consequence, he thinks that it is still only an Issa Durabanan. So to summarize, we have three nafgamina, three practical ramifications, three worlds that are affected in Shabbos. Number one, that it has to be the quality of Malacha, the Maisa Malacha has to be up to the snuff of Malachas Machsheves. Number two, the manner in which it's done can't be a Shina. And three, it needs to have that proper intent all around so that it can qualify as Malachas Machsheves for an Isser on Shabbos. Thank you for joining us for this episode of The World of Shabbos. Please subscribe to this podcast and leave us a great review. For more Torah learning opportunities, please check out our Kollel's website, www.torahchicago.org.